I have reoccurring dreams, and there's always like two or three that just keep happening. And it's that I have to go to the bathroom so bad, but all I can find are bathrooms that are just like the toilet is filled with like it's, I mean, like that's a mound.
Real life. You don't need to dream that.
Maybe it was just like I remember it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh yeah. Or I have a dream that the bathroom stall comes to like mid chest. So you're going to the bathroom, but it's like a dog and everyone kind of looks at you and you're looking back at them.
Again, those are also real. There are lots of stalls all over the place that only go to mid chest. So you can see other people where you're shitting.
No, they don't.
If you'll forgive the turn of phrase, that's, shit, no. You not Google.
What are you
that.
Talking about?
Yeah, there's.
Are you serious? I've heard about, my friend taught in a really remote place in China. And she said there was just a toilet in the middle of the room.
Hello?
Oh, hey, Dave.
We like our guests to join us partway through someone telling a story about a urinal. Nice to meet you, Dave. I'm Ben. Thanks for doing this with us.
Yes, nice to meet you. Nice to meet you.
Oh, Jesus. Oh,
Hawking. Well done.
Good job, Ben.
So you see, there's these poles in some places in Europe, and they have holes in them. And you're just supposed to go up and put your penis inside and pee.
Now, how big is the pole, though? Is it like a lamppost? What are we talking here?
It's a pretty personal question.
I mean, Ben, we've known each other for a while.
The size doesn't matter. It's about the hole. Is that a good joke?
The pole's personality. It helps.
You got to get to know the hole. The worst thing that I've heard about in toilet technology, yeah. I guess, is we may have talked about this before, but how some offices are looking at implementing the angled toilet.
Yeah. So that you.
To stop you from being able to take a break and look at your phone.
You said that on a previous episode too. And I'm like,
Do you want to bring your phone into the bathroom? That's gross.
Yeah.
No, it's not. Everybody brings their phone into the bathroom. Yeah. Don't pretend you don't.
I don't. You guys are disgusting.
No, I don't believe that. Mm-mm. I don't believe that for a second. Dave's listened. Dave is one of the few people that's actually listened to our show, so you can't lie. Now that we've said your name, Dave, I think we should probably welcome you to Dork Matters. And I'm going to read from what you've sent us. So we asked Dave for a bio, and this is what we got. Welcome, everyone, to Dork Matters. Today, we're joined by the innovative minds behind Draft Party, a remarkable company born out of the necessity for connection during the pandemic. Founded in 2022, by a group of passionate teachers and a software developer, Draft Party emerged as a beacon of inclusivity in the realm of social engagement. Picture this, trivia, but with a twist. Draft Party isn't your typical trivia game. It's designed for both trivia enthusiasts and those who typically shy away from it. With a unique blend of fun and challenge, Draft Party has quickly gained traction, boasting 800 daily users and even catching the attention of the city of Calgary, where it became a staple of their Canada Day celebrations. But what sets Draft Party apart isn't just its success. It's the ethos behind it. Sorry, I'm running out of steam. I thought I could get this in one breath, but I can't. I absolutely can't. This is a company fueled by passion, driven by a belief in the power of connection. They're dynamic, non-traditional, and a little bit scrappy, but above all, they're dedicated to bringing people together. Join us as we delve into the story behind Draft Party, exploring how this small startup aims to make a big impact, one trivia game at a time. Get ready to be inspired by their journey and their vision for a world where connection is always just a game away. Now, it might sound like I'm sort of taking a piss by reading that whole thing, and the reason is because I am. Because you then added the notation here that you use ChatGPT to help you write that, which I love.
Oh, of course.
And there's no way anybody could be that verbose without the help of an AI that is just trained to string together as many lines that seem different about a single topic as possible.
Oh, man. I use it all the time. So
as artists, Lexi and I don't want to speak for Lex, but there's an ethical quagmire involved with being an artist and AI art generation and the ethicality of it. So I thought this was a great segue to briefly chat about AI before we dive into the world of trivia, if you don't mind there, Dave.
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. I have some good ChatGPT stories that I've done with the program. So, yeah.
So in this context, I know that you're one of the teachers involved. So who is the programmer for your guys' group at Draft Party there?
It's a guy named Scott Eastman, and he lives out in Squamish.
Ooh. So
Squamish.
I've actually only met him once, in person.
That is so pandemic.
Yes, yes.
Like your company is born of pandemic, like this podcast.
Yeah.
And Lexi and I have actually never met.
Ben who?
I'm actually AI. You can tell by the weird collection of things behind my head. No normal adult would have this many vinyl toys.
I mean, an adult would have booby pictures behind them, which is what you do.
See, okay, I have to explain that every time we have a guest on, but that is a piece of art that was gifted to me that I love. It's beautiful colors, beautiful composition, well painted, but I wouldn't normally choose to hang
booby art,
yeah. Booby pictures behind me otherwise.
Is that wallpaper? Is that your wallpaper?
It is, yes. Oh, wow. I'm one of those people that's gone back to wallpaper at this point.
Yeah.
I needed a space that felt like the museum in Animal Crossing. This is what we did. We get off topic very easily, but I did want to just sort of, does AI play a part in Draft Party for you folks?
Oh God, no. So here's my AI story.
I was curious about that.
Yeah, no. So I've tried to use ChatGPT before. So like all the questions that we make, we do all our own research and come up with all the data, and we're always like proofing it to make sure it's correct and all that kind of stuff. And our developer suggested, well, why don't you just ask ChatGPT to like get you some of this data? And so we've tried, but it gets everything wrong. Like I've asked it for some simple questions about the NHL and stats, and they'll come up with just like answers that
just make shit up.
Oh, and then I'll call it on it, and it will be like, oh, I'm sorry, you are correct. Like that, yeah, that's right. That person did not play in Canada. I'm like, no, Boston isn't in Canada. So like, come on.
I love this. The most amazing thing about like ChatGPT and these other sort of info AI generators is just how much they replicate this sort of white male experience for a user.
Yeah.
Just gaslighting. Boston is in Canada, actually.
You can ask me anything and I will give you an answer as well. And it won't be accurate, but I will fill in the blanks as best as possible with whatever's up here. And then if you call me on it, I'll be like, yeah, you're right. Sorry about that.
Also, have you ever gaslit it back to it?
Oh no,
I haven't spent that much.
This is one of my favorite stories. So I find ChatGPT to be actually fairly good at coming up with like, well, somewhat creative stuff. So I've asked it to write before, like, hey, can you write a rap about the best hockey player of all time? And so it starts writing a rap about Wayne Gretzky. And then it did this whole big rap and it looks great. And then I write in, well, Wayne Gretzky wasn't the best hockey player of all time. Mm-hmm. And it goes, oh, I'm sorry. And rewrites the entire rap with someone completely different.
Who did it give you as its second best hockey player choice?
Well, that's actually the funny part. It like, it just tried to do like the top 10 players. Like it just started throwing names out there in the rap.
Broke it.
Like, yeah. It was grasping straws at that point. So.
Yeah. I think you intimidated the ChatGPT. You made it feel self-conscious.
That should be like a new hobby. Like people are just trying to see if they can make it self-implode where it's just like, oh,
we're going to age ourselves here. But do you remember when like they first started doing these sort of human interface things? It was around the time when like, the movie AI came out.
What do you mean like human interface things? I don't think.
Yeah.
So like they had like basically like a Google function website and you could go on and have conversations with this AI in like one of the earlier sort of versions of being able to interact with AI on a one-on-one basis and sort of get responses
back.
Was
it like Cleverbot?
Yeah, something like that. Exactly.
Yeah.
So a little bit, yeah.
I remember, yes, I showed my grade fours when I was teaching grade four, that thing. And I was like, you guys, like it's called AI. And we were talking about it and it just was so mean. And the kids were like, this thing's a jerk. And I was like, yeah, internets are a bunch of idiots, guys.
Before we move on, do you try to be polite to Siri or Alexa or whoever you work with?
Yes. Oh,
yeah. No, Dave's giving us a big head shake here.
Dave, what do you do? Are you like, that's right, bitch. I told you to tell me where to go for ice cream.
No, I actually hate using it. So
do you get frustrated?
And so I'm, you know, I feel like, you know, working for a tech-ish company that you should probably know a little bit more about technology, but I really don't. And so like, I don't turn it off on my phone and she randomly just pops up and I'm like, what the fuck? Come on, just stop. Like, I never ask you. I love typing in my questions. I don't like saying them. So
It's interesting because there's a lot of these new like concept phones too, or like, I don't know, is it Rabbit or Bunny, but these new devices that you're just supposed to interact with more like a computer from Star Trek or something. Like, they're removing interfaces, they're removing apps and trying to put it all into one seamless sort of device where you just talk to it about what you want. It brings up options.
Oh.
I don't think I like that.
I love that.
I want the control. I don't want to be like, because you know what's inevitably going to happen. You're going to try to find one thing and they're going to find you 19 different options that have nothing to do with the one thing you want.
Yeah, but Ben, like, you have to understand that I'm fine with being hooked up to the Matrix. I very much understood when they were like, hook me back up in it.
Yeah, yeah.
I was okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm tired all of the time.
Yeah.
I just want to lie down.
Yeah, in a pool of goo. You know what? I mean, I'm a big singularity enthusiast and like post-humanism, transhumanism, whatever you want to call it. But I feel like we got a lot more work to do to get it right. And I don't want, Musk at all to be the harbingers of means in the future.
Who do you want it to be? Like, who's the person that you would like to be?
Ideally, the summation of all AIs somehow develop a better AI than we're able to do that is more like...
No, you have to pick a person. Pick a person. Pick a known entity.
Well, that defeats the whole purpose of sort of surpassing humanity, right? If we have to use our flawed processing systems to get to some sort of godlike AI power.
I know who it would be. It would be Mr. Dress-Up.
Oh, Mr. Dress-Up is dead.
Yeah, I thought he was dead, but
then you could use like the AI to bring him back.
You want to go back and exhume Mr. Dress-Up, Ernie Coombs, just so we could AI him?
Hook him up.
Some Black Mirror shit, Lex.
Well, just like on Aliens, like the alien, the alien movie where they bring the head back and they like plug it in and it comes alive for
Mr.
a little
Dress-Up
bit.
Mr. Dress-Up returned.
Yeah.
A little Palpatine moment. He's hooked up to a spider machine hung lifeless.
Well, I actually take it back. I don't like the image of that. I'm sorry.
Should we get AI to draw that as our episode art?
Yeah, you could.
Oh, we should see what I we loved get. Him. I don't.
And I'll have to add a caveat that we normally wouldn't use AI, but it's relevant to the conversation we ended up having. That's enough of that. I think we did enough AI. I actually got Copilot from Bing to write to give me a little assessment of David Stone here.
Oh, jeez.
So I wanted to see how much of what he brought back, or they brought back, Copilot, was accurate. Can I do a real quick run here, Dave?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
David Stone, a seasoned entrepreneur, has traversed both the corporate world and the startup ecosystem. His preference lies firmly with the latter. Over the years, Stone has been involved in 8 or 9 startups, holding senior roles in several of them. Notably, he co-founded 3 ventures, Sport Reward System in 2002, CashStar in 2008, which he led as CEO. CashStar boasted $15.8 million in revenue. His latest venture, Forager, emerged from stealth mode recently. Forager aims to enhance local food, blah, blah, blah. I think this is not you.
No, not at all. Yeah. I have a really common name. So
that's true. And I did give Copilot David Stone, co-founder, Draft Party, Calgary, Alberta, and it still wrote this.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of information. There was a DJ when I was in university named DJ David Stone, and actually still DJs to this day up in Edmonton.
We should get them on the show.
Yeah.
There's also a David Stone who is some sort of disgraced pastor
that
from
should be the next person.
Southern U.S. And a stand-up comedian.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I haven't Googled my name in a while. I should really do that.
That's why Lexi doesn't use the same name she uses in her corporate world.
Yeah. Good call.
Yeah. You know what? We're going to do what we do after we ramble for a little bit and have our little intro topic, which was ostensibly AI here. And we're going to play our theme song. Welcome back to the show. This is Dork Matters, a dorky podcast for dorks. And I'm your dad dork host, Ben Rankle. With me every single time we do an episode is Lexi Hunt, your Ed Dorkator.
That's me. Yeah, that's me.
And unusually with us tonight is Dave Stone. Dave, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited.
We're going to call you our Trivi-dork.
Sure. That sounds good.
Trivi-dork.
Yeah. I don't know. It's tough. We try to put dork into every type.
Kind of sounds like troubadour. Oh. He's our troubadour. Troubadork.
It's an odd take for Lex because she's generally anti-bard. I don't know if you're much of a gamer, but no, not RPGs, yeah, TTRPGs, video games.
No more like I played Civilization is like my game that I love. Civilization 3.
I literally play Civilization daily. Oh yeah, Civ 6, they ported it to the iPhone and the latest iPhones because it's like a 5 or 6 year old game now.
Yeah.
So it runs magnificently on iPhone.
Oh, you've just ruined Dave's job.
Yes. Like,
shut up, kids. Smash, smash, smash.
I take care of children for a living as well. Mine are my offspring. But everybody needs a few minutes of Civilization in the toilets to bring us full circle here.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's the only way that I feel like sometimes I can make it through the day is by, you know, 4Xing over the entire world.
Well, mine was Clash of Clans. So, the original, yeah. I actually made it to second in Canada for one season. So,
wow.
Oh, congratulations. I don't know why Copilot didn't put that in your bio.
it's my one flex that I throw down with all the students I teach, and they are very impressed by it. And I'm like, I don't know.
The students now still know what that game is, huh?
Yeah, they actually still play it. Some of them do.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I thought it was like Roblox or Fortnite.
Yeah. Still there.
But yeah. Yeah.
You try to go up in front of class and do a floss or whatever. Yeah. Look, it's like, from the Fortnites.
I don't think a floss is.
No, it hasn't been for about 10 years now.
No, right now, all the rage is like the Crocs pajama pants. Crocs. And then they're like the, I don't know what they're called, like giblets or something that you put.
Gibbets.
Yeah, those
Come on,
ones.
Give it the time.
I don't know. I grew up in an era where if you were, those things.
Mine say don't panic because I have a panic disorder.
Seriously, if I was in high school and I wore sweatpants and Crocs to school as a high school student.
Yeah, we say stuff like that, but in our era, we had parachute pants and like baseball tees. So like
everyone was wearing them though, Ben. That was fine.
Right. So how is that not the same explanation for what the kids are wearing nowadays?
It's the same pair of pajama pants every day. Wash them.
Oh, well, maybe they just bought a bunch of different. Of the same one? No? They just smell?
I have a kid once. He was wearing the same white tank top every single day. And our school resource officer, one day she was like, do you have a pack of them or do you just have the one? And he came over and he was like, my mom bought them at Costco and there was a pack of them. And he was so proud.
And then he shined her.
No, he didn't. Mike,
tune in for more great education stories here.
Oh, God.
David, I could just tell those ones.
We need to get on topic here. We brought Dave here not to talk about shanking teachers and AI, but to run a little bit of a trivia contest. We talked a bit about his company, Draft Party, beforehand here.
Yeah.
I'm sure we did a very good job of explaining your company and really giving it a great shout out and didn't get distracted at all. If you'd like to give us a more succinct whatever rundown there, Dave, we'd love it.
So we created Draft Party, like you said, during the pandemic as a way to like stay together. So kind of the backstory behind it was when you go to a real like a traditional trivia, whether it's a bar or even online, a lot of them, we found that if you are knowledgeable at the subject that's happening, you have a lot of fun. But if you're not knowledgeable, it sucks to be there. Like you don't really want to play that trivia. It's not any fun. And so during the pandemic, there was a group of about five of us that would get together online and create. Everybody's job was to come with at least two or three questions that we were going to play and try to figure out and answer. And so when we brought them to the nights, people would ask questions like, hey, what is the largest animal on the planet? And it's like, I don't know. Like I could just start naming stuff, but like
blue whale.
Yeah. Blue whale. But like you wanted to name more than just one and you get points based off where you were. And it's like, oh God, but it was still like kind of, you have to think of it off the top of your head. And we realized we kind of like the format of like getting points based off where it was in the position, but we needed a list to pick from.
So it gives it sort of a Family Feud vibe.
Very much a Family Feud vibe, but we provide the answers to you and you have to take turns picking from those answers. So drafting your trivia answer team, and you get points based off where it is in the list. And so we typically, if you, well, you guys will see in a bit, but when we play a game, we have up to four teams can play at a time. And you can, we usually have about 25 selections to choose from, and you get points based off where they are ranked in that selections, in those selections. And then we also have some of our drafts, we call them our games. We have a database that has like 200 selections. And so you could literally play the same game over and over and over again, because it's just randomly selecting 25 choices from that database. And so people can play it over and over again.
So you mentioned that the programmer that works with you folks, you ended up meeting online. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
And how did you go about finding them or realizing that you needed somebody to get involved with you there? Because you get a lot of people with a great idea sometimes, and it takes a little bit more than that to actually make something happen. And this is really cool. So how did you realize what it was you wanted to accomplish, and how did you go about finding somebody to help you with that?
The two of us teachers, we are obviously aren't going to be programming anything.
You could have been a comp sci teacher.
Yeah.
You still have computer labs, right?
I guess so, but not to the level that we wanted. The other teacher friend that I'm doing this with, he had a buddy who also knew this computer programmer, and that's they actually pitched the idea to him and said, hey, do you want to be a part of this? And he was like, yeah, I see potential in this. And he just got really excited about getting on board. And luckily, and as most things happen in, I don't know, a lot of successful things I find happen is it's just dumb luck that you run into someone that's willing to take a chance on you. So, yeah.
Or it just clicks with people. Yeah. No, honestly, success appears to be just largely luck. And I mean, you have to work hard to be lucky, obviously.
Oh, absolutely.
Because if you don't do anything, you don't have anything to get lucky with, but
yeah,
that's fantastic. And just because I find this fascinating, at what point in the process of putting this group together did you guys have to formalize with like documentation and stuff like that?
So it was about,
and was that awkward for you?
Yeah,
I'm just so curious. Yeah, we're now a small business podcast.
It was about I think so. I actually came on. Those three initially. So my the other teaching guy I do this with, the programmer and his buddy were the original ones, but they weren't really nothing was really moving along, and so they asked me to come aboard. And at that point, when I came aboard, they're like, okay, we if this is going to do something, we need to actually figure out
formalizing,
you know, who owns what and what their roles are and all that kind of stuff. So that's when it was formalized. It was quite early. And I would recommend, not that I run any other small business, but if you're going to run a small
business. Not according to Copilot.
Yes.
You run a number of very successful businesses.
I would recommend that if you're running a small business, make sure you have everything in writing ahead of time. And that's what we realized, that it's been like amazing ever since. So, yeah.
Yeah. If this podcast ever breaks up, Lexi and I'll have a big legal battle over who gets the debt. Who gets this microphone that we purchased? We have made $8, I think, from our Patreon.
Yes, we feel that. We're not that far behind you. So
it sounds fantastic. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. I really found that. I find that generation of ideas fascinating.
Yeah.
The birthplace of it all being everybody needed something to do during the pandemic. Yeah. And so you either start a company, make sourdough, or have a podcast.
Yeah.
Or all of those.
Or all three. So I just find like the process of that and then actually following through on an idea like that to be very, very, very cool. Like, you know, ideas are easy, as I like to say, but like execution is the difficult part, the process that I find fascinating.
And the great thing about it is like we all each have our own roles within it, and we all have our strong suits. So like having, you know, Scott doing the programming and John is just like tied everything together organization wise. And I just like love making games and questions. So it's nice. Everybody has their own role. So
are you the game master, like officially in title?
I actually don't know. We did our business. Yeah, I think I'm in charge of like client services or something is the fancy title. Oh, I don't know. Yeah, we actually did have to fill out a business plan. But again, that's not wasn't something that I was part of.
No, that was John. That was John's part of the pie. Yeah. Yeah.
So he called me whatever he wanted to call me. So
were there games that inspired you before you got into sort of this trivia process yourself? Like, were you a big trivia person or just a pub player, or were you like a Trivial Pursuit game or that sort of thing?
So I loved Buzz Time Trivia that was in the bars where you get that like giant machine, you sit down and the screen, the game changes every like 7 minutes or something. I love playing that. And then all of a sudden, like, I think that company actually went bankrupt or got bought out.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's still around, but in a different format now. Obviously, you don't need a giant machine on your bar table to play trivia anymore. So
everyone's got an iPhone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I did love that. And we also
having to get like sell those devices to everybody just to like get your software their bar or whatever.
Like, I don't know where those bars stored it. Like, they had like tens of those, like, and they were massive. So
just one closet that used to be somebody's office, the managers.
Yeah. We also played Sporkle a lot, and Kahoot, but Sporkle has just become a cesspool of ads. So like it won't even open on like my computer anymore. So it just freezes up. So
yeah, we used to play Sporkle all the time at work. So Dave and I worked together at a school, and to start staff meetings sometimes we would play Sporkle to kind of like
break the ice.
Get people into just a better mindset before you're like, now we have to talk about reporting.
Yeah. Oh, boring.
I'm Marty Gordon. I don't know what you're talking about. I'd just bring a kid in and have them like humiliated publicly. Couldn't you do that? That sounds like it'd be fun for a group of teachers.
No comment.
You can't just bring them in and like throw tomatoes at, like, you know, you get them to sign a waiver or whatever that says it's cool.
I don't think that I would be very hard pressed to find any child who'd be like, yes, please throw rotten tomatoes at me for public humiliation fun.
Maybe metaphorical rotten tomatoes, like.
But you get an A in the subject.
Well, if only it worked that way.
Any subject of your choice.
Yeah.
So it's a good trade-off.
Yeah.
So just make fun of them.
Yeah.
Throw slurs and
this
isn't
a good idea. And I'm just trying to be funny, which I'm not. So let's
be clear, we wouldn't do that.
Yeah. Nobody advocates for the harm of children's on the Dirt Matters podcast or any of its guests. We present these ideas for humor, ostensibly. Did you ever play the Jack games there, Dave? Like Jackbox?
Yeah, of course. I bought one.
Because I feel like there's a similar sort of spirituality between the two.
Yeah, I bought Jackbox Party Pack 4 during the pandemic, and I was playing it all the time. But the problem is I bought it on my Apple TV, and you can only use it on your Apple TV. And I'm like,
it doesn't cross devices?
No. I was like, what, so angry. I don't. Well, because they want you to buy it again on your phone. So,
speaking of Civilization, since we're on the subject of iOS games, if you do get it on your phone, it's like $100 to get every expansion and etc.
Okay.
And getting that all in like a computer is like, I don't know, I think it's down at like $40 on sale right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
$100 on your phone.
But I've played literally thousands of hours of it on my phone. So it's a good cost benefit, whatever analysis bullshit.
Yeah. And I should say that like, I shouldn't be so hoity-toity seeing that I've bought Stardew Valley probably 4 or 5 times now.
Yeah. Both of them. We just now once a year, we just have our episode about Stardew Valley.
Buy
and we
buy
another copy, just support Eric Barone.
Just because.
Hopefully, and his partner.
Go tell my wife, she'll probably listen to this, but
that's very nice of her. Can't say that for all of our partners, eh, Les? Yeah.
John listens to it sometimes.
I'm totally just taking a joke here. Sorry.
I bought the gold pass on Clash of Clans every month, and it's an $8 subscription every month, and it's like, oh god.
I've always wondered who buys these.
Yeah.
I've met one now. It's Dave.
So you started the company as a way to support your Clash of Clans.
Yes, really, that's what it is.
One of the guys in my clan, he was from the States, and he used to wait for Black Friday because they put on sales, and then he'd always boast that he spent $500 on the game. I was like, the rest of us are like, what are you doing? So
I got pretty into Diablo Immortal for a bit there, the iOS like Diablo game that they put out. And yeah, it was the same sort of thing. There were a lot of people very proud of how much they had spent on that game.
Why?
Because I guess you want everyone to know how much disposable income you have, and I honestly can't tell you why. I got weird about that game for some reason. Made a clan and everything, scheduled battles. It was very uncool. In my defense, I was very sleep deprived in between
children,
moving my eldest child into his own room and my second child being born. Makes you delirious.
You need something to do at 3 a.m. So
sometimes at 3 a.m. when you're holding a child that's screaming at you and throwing up at you, it was either that or keeping Fortnite. But Fortnite's too difficult. I need a whole Switch for that because they took it off iOS. This is the least interesting conversation we could be having right now while we have a trivia expert here, Dave. Should we throw in here after our little mid episode break?
Yeah,
let's do it.
I don't know. Dave, you've listened to the show before.
Yeah.
Lexi promised.
I did. I do. Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to do Who's That Pokemon? And I've got a real Pokemon here. Give me half a second.
A
real Pokemon this time. It seemed only fair.
Okay. An actual Pokemon.
Yeah. We don't always do this. It's often, if not the majority of the time, not an actual Pokemon.
Sometimes it's an object in the room.
It's usually an object in the room. It's a very Kaiser Soze situation.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
Yeah, or like the last person we were talking about.
Did you?
Bruce Willis. Like, damn it.
Did you like the Kaiser Soze part of that? Spoilers, I guess, for a 30-year-old movie?
Spoilers.
Those types of movies are made for me. I was like, what? And John was like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Like, you didn't see that coming? And I'm like, no.
Oh.
Same with like the Marvel movies. I was
it's
like,
not even that part that bothered me. It was just that he looked around and took the worst possible things in the room. Like there was like a stapler or something like that. And like regular, normally named things. Like he could have been Xerox Swingline or something.
I thought you were going to say the most disappointing thing about it was that it was Kevin Spacey. I'm like, shit.
You know, we live, we learn,
we laugh,
we move on from Kevin Spacey. I'll never be able to watch K-Pax again.
Oh, no.
I never watched it, so
nobody
I'm fine.
Can do it. It's a shitty movie. No. Okay, let's get our Who's That Pokemon? Da-na-na-na-na. Who's that? It's Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey.
It's not. It's not Kevin Spacey. I won't do it.
It's not.
No.
Okay.
All right. We're going to trace this in the air with my finger. So we have a sort of roundish outline bulby that goes down into sort of a long leggy part. And then off the bulby part, there's these little triangle bits.
Oh.
And no, this is great. This is really solvable, Dave. Don't worry. Just keep watching my finger here. And then there's a little bit of a circle there and a half circle there. And then one little tiny circle between the other two half circles. And that's pretty much the silhouette.
So just figure it out, Dave.
Real Pokemon. Okay. Yeah, we like our guests.
I love this bit that you guys do, but I'm going to actually be honest. I know no Pokemon except for Bulbasaur.
Oh, I should have chosen Bulbasaur. Yeah. No, it's not Bulbasaur. I'm sorry to tell you.
I'm the type of nerd that likes geography and maps.
Yeah.
And
smart, we call you.
The weather.
You're a smart nerd.
Nonfiction.
I have filled my brain with literally everything I could get out of the Uncle John's bathroom reader. She used to be my favorite book as a 14-year-old, which might explain why I had no friends in high school.
Do you want to hear a joke that I read in the toilet?
They didn't. Lex, they didn't want to. And they thought it was weird.
It's ripe with trivia, too.
Oh, it's so much. I mean, it is just that, right? And it's those little facts that I love. And that's what I fill my brain with. Did you want to take a crack at this, Lex?
Now, at first I thought you were going to, like, it was like a Poliwhirl, Poliwag situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But now I don't know because you said the spikies. So now I don't know.
Yeah, the spikies off of the bulb. And then, you know, the long part is not small tail. Like, it's, I'll give you a little hint, it's quite a long tail.
Is it Pikachu?
It's not Pikachu.
Well, I don't f***ing know.
If I tell you what it evolves into, will it
help? Yeah, actually, that would.
It evolves into Dragonair.
Oh, Dragonette.
I hope I didn't fuck up my Pokemon. Ben? No, it's not. Dragonair is what it evolves into.
So what did I say? I said Dragonette.
Yeah, that's not a Pokemon.
Okay, well then it's like a kitchenette. It folds out into a Dragonair.
It's, you're right. It's Dratini. Can you see my screen at all?
No, it's just bright white.
Oh, Jesus. How do you do that?
It's just like a flashlight. It looks like you're at a rave. Just neat instances. Yeah, there you go. Scream.
I can drop a Dratini.
Can I just tell you a quick story about...
About Dratini?
No, about raves. Dancing at raves. My friend, who, Ben, I feel like you've met, she went to art school with us. Maybe you didn't.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I would have met her before I dropped out.
Yes. My friend, who I used to introduce as ridiculously pretty, she hated that, so I'm sorry. But
that's ringing a lot of bells.
Yeah. We would go to the bar or we'd go to raves or whatever, the club, and was so pretty that guys would come up and it was just super annoying. But has the greatest sense of humor, and she's like, I found the best way to deter guys from dancing with us is to dance like the DJ.
Oh my God.
And so as soon as the DJ would be like, would start dancing like that, and it scared so many guys away. It was awesome.
For those not able to see Lex's video,
we're like this one kind of like a dab.
Yeah, the snuffy
dab. The snuffy dab. The
snuffleupagus.
I actually thought she was doing the chicken dance.
Yeah, it looked like a chicken dance to me too.
Yeah.
Do they still make kids take dance in school?
Yes, they do.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's awesome. I go watch the kids who have been frustrating me when they're doing a dance unit. I go check them out. And they're like,
oh, we're against child humiliation until it's dance class, apparently.
Because I'm like, I'm supporting you right now when you're at your most vulnerable, and I'm here for you.
Yeah, to laugh
go
at
dance.
You.
But in my head, I'm like, oh my God, this is great.
Yeah.
Hope you like line dancing.
I would have terrible, terrible panic attack if I watched kids dance in like school like that, because I would just flash back immediately to how terrible it was for me in high school.
Okay, so I want to know, Dave, at your school, do the kids touch? My school, they don't touch. They do the line dancing and Bhangra, but they don't touch.
Oh yeah, they touch at my school. A lot of touching. Yeah. Yeah.
Whether you like it or not.
Sometimes you have to ask them to stop.
Sometimes it's not in dance class. So.
All right, let's wrap this up. It's Dratini.
And Kevin Spacey.
I guess so. Why not?
We like to have fun. Okay, trivia.
Should we launch in here? Should we trivialize ourselves? How do we do this, Dave?
Okay, here, I will share my screen and like the million. Actually, I won't share the million tabs. So Lexi, I texted her yesterday, and she was saying that you were into Disney, doing a Disney trivia.
Yeah. Perfect.
I also just want to take a quick aside here to say how impressed I am, Dave, that you were able to share your screen
within moments
on Riverside, which is functionality I did not know we had.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Ben, I could see you were like, oh.
Yeah, my eyes just went huge. I was like, he can fucking do that? Like, the entire time we've been recording, I've been racking my brain about how we're supposed to do this part of the episode.
I'll just share my screen. It's all good.
How do you know how to do this, you wizard?
Many, many Google Meet times. So, yeah.
Yeah. I'm missing out a lot. When I have to meet with my my employees, it's usually at the kitchen table and they throw blueberries at me.
And then you tell them to send you an email and they don't listen. So, yeah.
No, they don't do any of that.
Actually, my eldest does know how to send me messages.
Oh, my God.
He's 4.5.
Oh, yeah, because he sends you the Amazon links.
He spends a lot of time looking on Google at oscillating fans are his particular favorite, or misting fans, or any type of fan of the cooling variety, although he's getting into heating fans lately. And so when he finds one he likes, he has learned how to press the arrow and send it to Dad via text message.
Did I tell you, like, he drew me a picture once and I took it to work with me and I put it up on my wall and my boss walked in and he was like, is that a picture of a fan? And I was like, it is. Thank you for noticing.
Has he also dove down the YouTube rabbit hole about fans? There's got to be some sort of fan.
A little bit, yeah. Fan repair and talking about antique fans. So we got into antique fans because he watched a bunch of videos on And I know there's a lot of warnings about YouTube and children and trying to keep them off. But it turns out if you're watching fan videos, you don't get into any really weird shit. It's just fan videos. Nobody's trying to subliminally mess with you as long as you're not watching Coco Melon.
Yes. I do find YouTube very fascinating that way. My kid is into old toy restoration videos, which is like fascinating.
Oh, that feels like a similar shade.
Yeah.
But that's like a Toy Story thing, right? Like when he's like fixing.
No, he fucking hates Toy Story. He couldn't even make it through the movie because it was too scary. He'll listen to this 20 years from now and probably kill me. But yeah.
There's zero chance that whatever AI takes over keeps any of this.
Well, I'll be plugged into the Matrix. Don't worry.
They'll be like, what relevant things do you need to exist here in our artificial reality? Your podcast that you made when you were meat? No.
No,
absolutely not.
So when you guys are playing this, I do have a question. I have two Disney themed ones. One is probably easier. The other one is more fascinating, but definitely harder. So the first one is I will give you a list of Disney movies and you have to put them in order of earliest movie.
I got to be honest. What do we think is the funniest here?
Yeah.
Lexi, what is going to be the most funny is if we fail a lot or if we succeed at naming movies.
Well, and arguing, right?
Okay. Well, then it definitely is the second one, which is more interesting, which this one is you're looking at Disney characters playing are in movies and you want the main character that has the most percentage of screen time in the movie.
Okay.
The highest percentage.
Are these team names AI generated?
Yes. The copper cuckoo. Yeah.
I was trying to understand the relevance of copper cuckoo to Disney.
So that's just our programmer having fun with some alliteration, I guess. Yeah. So
I love alliteration. Big Stan Lee fan.
I think I'll probably just do 10 choices for you guys. We have like you can customize the number of picks that you have, and then you each get 4 choices in this. So.
Okay, do we need to know anything here before we start about how we are playing this?
It's pretty self-explanatory. When the screen comes up, you'll see 10 choices, and it will tell you who goes first. And then you'll have to pick the character that you think had the highest percentage of screen time in their movie. So it's all Disney movies from, like right back from Snow White all the way till the newer ones. So
wonderful.
Ooh,
and let's do our best to read what's on the screen so it doesn't become like when I forget to do my finger wag narration during Who's That Pokemon.
So your choices are which Disney main character had the highest percentage of screen time in their movie indicated. You have Aladdin in Aladdin. You have Alice in Wonderland, Anna in Frozen, Ariel in The Little Mermaid, Bambi in Bambi, Belle in Beauty and the Beast, Cinderella in Cinderella, Dumbo in Dumbo, Fa Mulan in Mulan, Judy Hopps in Zootopia, Lady and the Tramp, Mirabel. I've never seen that movie.
Madrigal from Encanto. We don't talk about Bruno.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Moana and Moana, Mowgli in The Jungle Book, the 1967 version, Peter Pan in Peter Pan, Pinocchio in Pinocchio, Pocahontas in Pocahontas, Pongo in The 101 Dalmatians. I was actually fascinated. I wasn't sure who the main character was going to be in that movie. But
yeah, that's a great point.
Pongo's a dad dog, right?
Yeah, Pongo's a dad dog.
Okay.
Robin Hood in Robin Hood, Simba in The Lion King, Snow White in Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, Tarzan in Tarzan, Todd in The Fox and the Hound, and Tramp in Lady and the Tramp, and Winnie the Pooh in The Adventures of Winnie the Pooh.
Okay, those of you listening at home, this is your opportunity to think and make a choice for yourself. This is a play along at home moment. Lexi, you're going to make your pick. I'll make my pick here. There's a couple that jump out at me.
Okay, I think I've got my first. I think Ariel.
Ariel, 13 points to Lexi.
Ariel?
Did you just call Ariel?
Ariel. I never really watched that movie, but I know that.
Oh my God, really? We have to do a Disney episode.
That
was wild. I thought everyone knew Ariel. Okay.
Oh.
So Team Lexi has picked Ariel, the Little Mermaid. So I can't pick that now.
And so Lexi she was 40% of the screen time in The Little Mermaid.
Okay.
And it was the 13th best pick. So she got 13 points because each pick is ranked. If you get number one, you get 25 points. So you went
right in the middle with that.
Cool.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you get the last pick, you get 1 point. So she's staying in the middle.
All right. 13. All right.
I'm going to choose Moana.
Moana.
Moana, 24 points to Ben.
Great choice. That's a great choice.
No, it's good. That's good.
Second, I saw the 24 and thought it was 24th choice.
Whoa.
So Moana was in 62% of Moana's screen time.
Jeez. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Can we just take a second to appreciate Jared Clement? Is that the right name from Flight of the Conchords?
Oh,
the
guy
who does the shiny.
That's an amazing song.
I'd rather be shiny like a treasure from a sunken pirate wreck. Scrub the deck and make it look shiny.
So you picked first, Lexi.
Yeah.
In the first round. So it wouldn't make sense that Ben always has to pick second every single round. So you got four picks. So Ben now picks first in the second round. Yeah.
Okay.
Right. So I don't care. Fair. So she can't take all the good ones.
Smart. Yeah.
For fairness. I get it. I'm doing my best to replay every single one of these movies at high speed in my brain right now. And I'm going to choose Robin Hood in Robin Hood as my next choice.
Robin Hood, 2 points to Ben.
Ooh.
Oh, that was bad. Oh, I got the thing I thought I had last time. Hey,
oh, yes.
For all you palindrome fans out there, I got the 24 points on the second choice to start with, and then 2 points on the 24th choice.
If you guys can see their game board, it is symmetrical up top. So perfectly symmetrical.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is wonderful. Good job, lovely. Ben.
I thought wrong. I had wrong think.
Robin Hood was in 23% of Robin Hood's screen time.
Boy, my titular character did not work for me there. All right, Lex, what do you got next?
I'm going to go with Pocahontas.
I am going to say I think that was a bad choice.
Pocahontas, 8 points to Lexi.
And you're right.
That's a movie I remember quite well, and I feel like she gets a lot of side scenes there.
I don't really I just remember being like, she was in a movie.
Mel Gibson as John Smith from The New World. That's a lot of screen time in
that's
that.
That's too bad. Okay, all right.
So for the listeners, Ben has 26 points after two picks, and Lexi has 21.
Okay, okay,
whoa.
Okay.
All right, Lex, you get now to pick this third one, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is tough. Okay, I think I'm going to go with Aladdin.
I'm going to say no.
Aladdin, 15 points to Lexi.
Ah! That's not bad.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
This is 44%. That's 11th place. So it's not bad.
Okay. Okay. I got to do good or else I'm going to look stupid now. More than I already usually do. There's a lot of cutaway from that.
Yeah.
It's hard, folks. The pressure is on.
While Ben's thinking, just where I got this information from there, it's actually a really fascinating story. There's a guy on Twitter who has a Twitter handle. I actually don't know what his Twitter handle is, but it's something like Screen Time Central.
Close enough.
And he has a whole website where he literally watches movies with a stopwatch. And like tons of different movies. He's timed each character in each movie and found the exact seconds that they were on screen and then calculated them as a percentage.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everybody needs a hobby.
Hey, you know what? Why not? Sure.
Who are we to cast stones? Yeah. We started a podcast.
Yeah.
One of these things seems slightly more intelligent than the other. I am going to choose. I'm just going random here. I'm going to go with Dumbo because I like the way Dumbo.
Dumbo.
It's like Duran Duran.
Okay. Oh.
Dumbo, 5 points to Ben.
Oh.
No.
That's really Dumbo.
Bad choice.
No, just joking. That's terrible. Pun.
It was a dumb.
So going into the last round, last pick, Ben has 31 points. Lexi has 36. So she's pulled ahead.
Ooh.
Oh.
So Ben gets to pick first in the last pick here.
Okay. That's stressful. Because very soon my Schrodinger's cat of whether I win or lose could be answered very soon. I can't extend that possibility of having one. I'm going to choose Anna from Frozen. Why not?
Okay.
What do I know? I don't know anything.
Anna, 21 points to Ben.
Whoa. Whoa.
Look at that.
That pick. Yeah.
Not bad.
She's in 51% of Frozen. So.
Okay.
All right, Lex. This is down to you now.
Okay. So you need 16 points.
Is
there a timer, Dave?
there can be.
Like, you can set one so that, like, we don't need it. I was just curious if, like, when I play this after we turn off the podcast, if I can set a timer for my wife.
Yeah, you could set a timer from anywhere from 15 seconds a pick, which would be nearly impossible, to, like, 2 minutes.
Do you have a Borat category?
Oh, my God.
No Borat. Yes. Yes.
Just thought I'd ask. Just thought I'd ask. It's of particular interest to me.
Do you take requests, perhaps?
Yes, I do. My list of requests is quite long. So.
It'll just be me, the only one that wants to play that.
Lexi, you need at least the 10th best pick here to win. 10th best will tie. You know,
I'm pulling for you, Lexi. You got this.
Thank you. Okay. David, I would like to pick Alice from Alice in Wonderland.
I think that's a strong choice.
Alice, 19 points to Lexi.
And it is a great choice, and you won.
Yay! Yay! Kid Street clap over my head here.
Lexi wins.
You get to go to the Wall of Toys, and you get, what is it, 30 seconds to grab anything you want? I always wanted the My Pet Monster that was on the wall there.
Oh, yeah, the My Pet Monster.
I wasn't allowed it.
I loved My Pet Monster because of the
cuffs.
And how we became like a big scary
monster.
And
now we're all into bondage and 50 Shades of Grey. It was just a quick step away from that.
Oh, that's what it was.
That's why we're all into that now. Yeah. That was fantastic, Dave. No Thank worries. You so much for doing
and
that.
Just to throw it out there, because we've created about, right now, our catalog is about 750 questions. So you have 750 of those questions you can play, and almost all of them you could play multiple times because you'll have different selections to choose from. So it's a different game each time you play. So
I was going to say I have one more question for you, Dave, but it's actually two. My first question is, do you think we can sneak in one more round here before we call it? Do you have time for that?
Yes.
And then I'll save my second question for after.
Okay. I have a lot of weird...
Let's do Star Wars.
Oh, you want Star Wars? Sure.
Or we can do Animal Facts. Actually, Dave, you pick anything you want for us. You tell us what we're playing.
Okay.
We'll call it Dave's choice. Guess prerogative.
Let's pick a weird one.
Okay. This is going to be really, really hard for me because every time I do this and I pick ones for us to do, like we do this as like a staff team building thing because we also do team building with people where we send an email out every day. Everybody picks their own individual, has their own individual game board and has to try to pick the top eight choices. And then we do a final event. And every time we do a final event, I pick the questions for it. And my partner, John's like, always like, what the fuck did you just pick? Like, no one likes that. Like, only you think that's good. So
you're like, hey, I am one of the four people that started this company. I can choose whatever category I want, sir.
Like countries with the best flags. Like, ooh.
Yeah.
I'll do the weather. Let's do the weather.
He's like, no one likes the weather.
I'll pick
no
anything. One likes the weather.
Anything that you think is cool. Or actually, you know what? Give us your very favorite topic if you know what that is.
Okay.
Yeah, Dave, you pick. We'll be happy with it.
Do you have a personal favorite, like one that's your baby? Oh,
yeah.
Yes, here's one that I just recently created that I think that you guys will like. And I got it from like Pew Research.
I've heard of Pew Research. I just want everyone to know that. Lex, do you have it? You guys know I haven't.
I have.
So... this question is, you're trying to pick the demographic with the highest percentage who have ever used a social media platform. And so
I'm feeling confident in this one.
Yeah.
Oh, Dave, can I just say that this is the most Dave Stone topic ever? And it just makes me so happy.
I'm sorry. It's just so nerdy.
It's awesome.
I mean, I could have picked like fast food, highest calorie menu items, which probably is a better one.
Oh, that sounds great. I would definitely do well on that one too. I'm very familiar with the value
can
meals.
Can I change that? Because that would actually, come on.
You do whatever you want, Dave. Don't let Lexi talk you out of anything.
I want to change it. I want to change it because that one's a lot more fun.
Yeah, Dave, it's yours. It's yours.
Probably listeners and everybody.
Everyone here is eating a Big Mac. Now let's shame ourselves.
Yeah.
Oh, God, you're going to make me DoorDash. Right.
Let's shame ourselves and put a Blizzard in there, too. Yum, yum, yum.
Okay, here we go. This will be great. You guys will agree with this.
Okay.
So I went on every fast food restaurant's menu. And I just found the highest, like not just one, but like a few of the highest calorie items. And then I put them all together in a list. It took a while to create, that's for sure. But well worth it. So
I'm calling this the hungry man.
Your choices are A&W Papa Burger, the Arby's Classic Beef and Cheddar, the Burger King Whopper, the In-N-Out Double Double with Onion, Little Caesars Pepperoni, a quarter of a large.
The specificity of that makes me very happy. It's a quarter of that whole pizza.
Well, you got to even the playing field. So a whole.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Because I only know what it is if I eat the whole pizza. I can't do the fractions. I went to art school.
McDonald's Big Breakfast with Hot Cakes. Popeye's Chicken Sandwich. Popeye's Spicy Chicken Sandwich.
How many calories can the spicy add?
We'll find out.
I guess we're going to find out, Ben.
We'll play to find out.
Quiznos Turkey Ranch and Swiss 12-inch with just like the veggies on it. And Subway Turkey Breast 12-inch on 9-grain with select veggies as well.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
All right. I think we're ready.
Yeah, we're good.
Ben, you get to go first.
Okay, I am going to choose the quarter of a large Little Caesars pepperoni pizza, please.
I think that's a great choice.
Quarter of a large Little Caesars pepperoni pizza. 4 points to Ben.
Hey, oh, pretty Evan. Good.
Not great. Well, it's the back half, so not great.
Back half.
Okay.
Man, I could have... You know what? That basically means that quarter of a Little Caesars pepperoni pizza is actually a health food.
Yeah, at this point, I'm like, yes. Is this just going to tell us what we can and can't eat? Like, I'll be like, well, it's not the top one.
Yeah, anything below is six fine. Is something that I can order after we're done podcasting.
So for the listeners, that was 618 calories, seventh place out of 10. Okay.
So now multiply that by four and you get a nice Friday night.
Nice. And a terrible Saturday morning.
Unless you have Civilization on your iPhone.
Because then when you're on the toilet, you'll have some company.
And nobody is going to argue about whether or not you need to be in there.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, Lex, what do you got? What's your high-cal pick?
I think I'm going to go for the McDonald's Big Breakfast with Hotcakes.
I think that's
Do they say, honestly, like I did get some from Canadian and American websites. Do they still make this in Canada?
They do.
I haven't been for breakfast. Yeah.
Wait, okay. I don't know if they do the big breakfast. They definitely do hot cakes.
They do
hot
cakes. Yeah. Let's see.
I don't know what the big breakfast entails.
McDonald's Big Breakfast with Hot Cakes. 10 points to Lexi.
Oh! Yes. Shit.
Nicely
done. A lot
done.
Of calories.
That is the number one choice with 10 points.
Oh.
1,300 calories.
What? That's like all the food you need.
I shouldn't be feeding that to my children.
Oh my God. Okay. Woo, 1,300. Good grief. Okay.
All right. We got to do our best. So I'm...
No, it's my turn. Benjamin.
Shoot.
Okay. I'm going to go with the In-N-Out double with onion. With onion. Pick.
You just know something that has double in it twice. It's going to be
intense.
High cal.
Yeah.
In-N-Out double burger with onions. 6 points to Lexi.
Not as high as I would have expected. Yeah.
As the kids would say, it's mid.
Mid.
I literally don't understand that. It sounds like an East Coast saying. It's Midland. All the high schoolers.
So 670 calories.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah. Well done.
Dang.
Yeah. Hey, I should point out, we're not trying to shame anybody's food choices here.
This is what you eat. This is what you eat. Who cares?
Yeah, unless it's me, and then I'm shaming myself. But that's not going to stop me. From having my
not at all.
Arby's Classic Beef and Cheddar. I'm choosing this. I don't have a good suspicion on the calories, but it is one of my favorite fast food items.
Oh my God. That like fake cheese on top.
I just don't understand why Arby's Beef and Cheddars aren't more popular.
Because they're disgusting.
No, they're so
we had
good.
Friends over for dinner once and I ordered, I think, 30 beef and cheddars.
No, you
and
didn't.
Just put them in the middle of the table with curly fries. And that was, they knew what they were getting into and everybody loved it.
Okay.
It was
fantastic. Glad for you. Well,
and their buns, their little poppy seeds on their buns.
The bun is so good with that little like onion, the little roasted onion on top. Fantastic. This is an Arby's podcast now.
Yeah.
Arby's Classic Beef and Cheddar. 2 points to Ben.
Oh.
Apparently it's a health food.
450 calories. It's tied for last place.
Wow. It's light. You call that an Arby's Beef and Cheddar light.
Yeah.
That is actually very reasonable.
It's surprising. If you only eat one, can. I dare you. I dare you to stop at one. Back in college, I did a challenge with my roommate that we ate a bunch of cheeseburgers. This just reminds me of that. I want to do a video challenge with Lex where we eat as many beef and cheddars as possible before we throw up.
I will tap out before I even finish the first
reminds
one.
Reminds me of performance art. And don't you want to be an artist still?
No, not like that. Do you
not
remember?
Like that. Not
did
like
we talk
this.
About the butter eaters?
I remember the ice cream eaters from art college.
But the butter eaters were in line with that. They were a glass blowing troop. And if you wanted to join them, you had to eat like a stick of butter without puking it up.
We're in the same first year. So we must have seen the ice cream eaters together,
right? We saw the ice cream eaters together, and I try not to think about it.
Yeah. Can I explain it?
No. Oh, yes. I'm just going to take the earbuds out.
Dave, do you want to hear about it? It's up to Dave. Dave gets to choose. Can we take a mid-break?
I definitely want to hear that about that. Yeah.
So performance art, for people who don't know, is people doing really weird things in the name of art, usually in a physical space. So we were all welcomed in as our first year class in art college to go watch these two people doing a performance art piece. Each one was sitting down with a 4-liter bucket of Neapolitan ice cream.
Oh.
And they just started eating. Oh. And they kept eating.
Oh.
And they kept eating.
Oh.
And they kept eating until they began to throw up.
Oh.
The ice cream came back out as soft serve.
Oh.
And they kept eating, Dave. Yes. They kept eating.
After they threw up?
Over and over.
Why?
Over and over again. The throw up kept coming.
But did it come out in like multiple colors?
Rainbow. It was like watching the Trolls movie. I'm going to go with the Burger King Whopper, Dave.
Burger King Whopper. 5 points to Ben.
660 calories.
I am apparently really good at picking the healthiest possible fast food.
Yes, you are.
Okay, so I've already basically lost this.
Well, Lexi could get two stinkers here, so yeah.
I just feel like I'm going to barf after hearing that. Okay.
Okay, Lex, what do you got?
Okay, Popeye's chicken sandwich.
And they just kept eating.
Which one?
The spicy.
Okay. It's got to be. More.
Although maybe the spice is burning calories, those Scoville units.
Popeye's spicy chicken sandwich. 8 points to Lexi.
Oh, third.
Oh, good choice. 700 calories.
Well done, Lex.
Well, I need to know.
Oh, and you get to pick again. And I feel like there's an obvious choice here.
We have to know what the Popeye's regular chicken sandwich is.
Obviously.
And you don't choose the turkey one. Everyone knows that turkey's the healthy option.
Popeye's chicken sandwich, 7 points to Lexi.
So that one is 1 calorie less.
That's ridiculous.
That adds 1 calorie. That's perfect. As a very frequent eater of the Subway turkey breast sandwich, I know exactly how much those calories are in a particular dressing setup. So I'm going to choose the A&W Papa Burger instead. Trying to get some points here.
A&W Papa Burger. 2 points to Ben.
9th.
Okay. Yes.
What?
No.
How does that have the least calories?
The 9th. Yeah. Oh my God.
Oh my God. I chose.
That's crazy.
I chose 4 out of the 5 least caloried items.
You did. Yes.
I thought I knew how to be unhealthy, and I have a long way to go.
But look, doesn't this open up a whole new world of food? Like, we can start eating way more food.
And
because look at the calories.
Look at that. Yeah. And back to palindromes. It's 1-3-3-1. So Lexi wins with 31 points.
Oh, yes. Nicely done.
I'm all about palindromes here. Dave, thank you so much. My final question is, where can people find you and where can they find Draft Party?
So you can find us on draftparty.net because .com was about $10,000 to buy. So .net was...
I think you made the wise choice. .net it is.
.net was
.org, .ca.
It was like $7. So yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, $10,007.
For like $50, you can get literally the rest of the internet domains. Yeah.
So you can find us there. We actually are just currently redesigning the website to have a little bit better user experience because when we first put this out, we were just trying to get it out to market. And so now we've actually had a professional company come and do the whole redesign. And I know, fancy. And within a month, so probably in start of April sometime, you could also go in and you can have log in for your own, or sign up for your own account, and we'll have daily challenges you can play yourself. And that will translate into by July 1st of this summer, we will have our app being released. So the app's a little
fantastic.
Bit different game because we don't have the screen real estate on the app for 25 choices. So we're going to call it Draft Party Blitz. And it's a timed game where you have to sort like 7 items quickly on your phone.
Awesome.
That sounds stressful.
That sounds awesome. Yeah.
In a good way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, looking forward to that. Yeah, that's Dave, great. Thank you.
Yes.
How about yourself personally? Do you want anyone to find you? You don't have to let them know where to get you.
Well, they could try Googling me, but apparently they won't find me. So.
You will get a number of options, and you have to arrange them from the most R. Dave Stone to the least. Yeah. I don't know, 30 seconds?
Put the disgraced pastor at the end, please. Yes. You'll normally find me at my work, which I don't want to say where that is.
He doesn't want that. We don't want that. Don't come find any of us if we're being honest.
Yeah.
Listen to us here.
That's right.
And that's it. That's where the relationship should probably stop.
That's a healthy relationship right there.
Yeah. Well, Dave, thank you times a million for coming on. This was a blast.
Thanks,
and it was really fun chatting with you.
Thank you so much for having me. And I'm just going to say, I love you guys' podcast. I do listen.
Oh, thanks, Dave.
And my favorite episode, hence the cheesies that I brought out, was the mascot episode. I did love
that. Oh, I feel like that's a real high mark for us, a real watershed moment. It might be what changes everything.
Yeah.
A quick anecdote before we let you go. I tried to post that in the mascot subreddit because I thought this is a real winner. These people almost definitely want to bang mascots. And it turns out that subreddit is largely for people who work full or part-time as professional mascots. And they found it offensive.
You got negative votes?
I got some downvotes. One kind person explained to me why I was getting downvoted. And they're like, hey, you probably didn't notice this. You probably thought you were doing something really fun. But most of us in this sub are working professional mascots. Don't appreciate terms like yiffing and stuff like that applied to what we do for a living. mascots, not particularly full of humor.
Oh, my gosh.
Dave, thank you again. Lexi, thanks for bringing Dave to us. You get extra podcast host points tonight.
Hooray.
So you won all three of the games we played. And until next time, dork to the dork, dork.
Dork, dork.
Bye. Thanks for listening to Dork Matters. If you like the podcast, subscribe, give us a rating, and tell your friends about us.
If you are a fellow dork and have a dork issue that you think we need to discuss, tell us on our social media. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter. You can also check out original art and other content from Ben and myself.
We'd like to say a big thank you to Yabra for the use of our theme song, Dance, off of their Astral EP, as well as a thank you to Jess Schmidt for producing and editing our podcast. Thanks, Jess.
Dork Matters.
This podcast is created on the traditional territories of the Blackfoot Nations, which includes the Siksika, the Piikani, and the Kainai. We also acknowledge the Stoney Nakoda Nation, Sutena, and Métis Nation, Region 3.